We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Daily Draft, brought to you by Badger State Brewing in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, just minutes from Lambeau Field. I am your host, Ross Uglum, the publisher of Packer Report, and we are talking, honestly, still, I would say, a significant position of need for the Green Bay Packers, and that is running back. And I would have no other man join me to discuss running backs than my guy, Emory Hunt from Football Game Plan. Emory, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing fantastic, man. I appreciate you bringing me on the show.
Absolutely. So for kind of just, you know, our watchers, our listeners that are really Packers kind of centric, can you just kind of explain who you are and what you do?
I'm a football analyst, and simply put, you know, so catch me at Football Game Plan, catch me on CBS Sports HQ. I produce the largest draft guide in history, and currently with the Football Game Plan draft guide, which you can pre-order at footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide, 900 individual scouting reports, and you can find me all over your internet and also all over your streaming devices. I also call games too, college football games. You see me every Saturday at somebody's press box, calling the college football game. So I've seen a lot and done a lot as well.
I didn't really. So you take on the Beast. That's the one, right? The Dane Brugler one, the Beast.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. So your guide is bigger than the Beast.
Way bigger. And again, it's not list. If it's my guide this year is 900 pages, which means it's 900 individual scouting prospects. So last year I did over a thousand. So yeah, every player has, I don't do a top 10 and then list the other guys. Every player in the guide has an individual full-page scout report.
That's awesome. That'd be a big one, honestly. If you like to get deep in the weeds, then I mean, like, if I would guess there's going to be most of the undrafted, like the priority free agents, you're going to have a scouting report on, and not everybody does that.
Not everybody does.
Yeah, we're very pleased to have, you know, 280, 290. Folks in our guide, and then have that kind of skewed towards the Packers. So we have like a very specific, you know, thing that we're trying to accomplish, but that's awesome, man. All right. I'm going to roll real quick here. into the state of the room for the Green Bay Packers. And it's a super interesting one. And it's something that Emery and I are going to talk about in a second. Everyone knows what happened, right? First day of free agency. And it's funny, the order of operations too, because before everyone was jumping up and down because the Packers signed, in my opinion, a top five safety in football. And certainly I would say the best player at their biggest position of need. I mean, they went out and got the guy in Xavier McKinney. That happened second. The first thing that happened was sort of a what the hell. And the what the hell was acquiring Josh Jacobs as an unrestricted free agent from the Las Vegas Raiders. Jacobs was the NFL's rushing leader in 2022, hit the magic 370 touches mark and did not have the same season in 2023. That's something that we'll talk about as well. But Jacobs is 26 years old. Green Bay signed him to a big deal that is really more like a two-year deal, and then we'll see, but a four-year, $48 million contract. And for just an hour or two, people thought that you know, the kind of the quote-unquote thunder and lightning was just going to be Josh Jacobs upgrading the A.J. Dillon thunder aspect of it and you know, pairing himself with Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones asked to take a pay cut and chooses not to do so, ending up signing with the NFC North's Minnesota Vikings. And then in a completely odd reverse, of course, Packers go with Thunder and Thunder, adding A.J. Dillon back to the group. Matt LaFleur is saying really interesting stuff. You know, Packers fans, or I've been certainly talking about the fullback tight end kind of hybrid position that the Matt's good friend Kyle Shanahan uses out in San Francisco with Kyle Juszczyk. And Green Bay ran after that position by using a third round pick on Josiah DeGuara in 2020. That has not worked out, but even the idea that they might look at Dillon at some fullback or some H-back is super interesting. And I think also opens you up to, well, they're definitely I think they're always going to take a back, because Green Bay is not the type of club to have 2 second contract backs and nobody. I mean, they want young, fresh legs. Every team does. But if they're going to use Dillon a little bit at fullback and a little bit at H-back and a little bit at wing tight end and a little bit there and a little bit, like, you might still be looking at two running backs that they might want to add. I remember the year that they added Aaron Jones, they took Jamal Williams around 4, Aaron Jones in round 5, and then Devontae Mays in round 7. Now, Devontae didn't make the team, but this has been a team that will take a shotgun approach at the running back position. Emery, what was your take on kind of the Aaron Jones of it all? 29, missed, I think, 7 games last year, if not a few more than that, but incredibly productive, especially incredibly productive in the last 2 games of the regular season and the playoffs. But Josh Jacobs did something Aaron Jones never did, which was lead the league in rushing in 2022. What was kind of your thoughts on everything that went down there on free agency day one?
Well, it just shows you what the league thought of the upcoming draft class at the position. You know, they didn't see particularly a quote-unquote foundational guy in the backfield. So, you know, they went ahead and was very active in free agency. We saw a lot of trades, saw a lot of surprise moves, cuts, and quickly teams jumped on these guys. But for the Packers, I felt like, wow, you know, what's the plan? And like you said, for about an hour, you're like, well, are they going to use both guys? And then we got that answer pretty quickly. And then you bring back A.J. Dillon to the fold. But listen, you know, Jacobs is someone, he's a slasher, a one-cut downhill guy with some quickness. I feel like Aaron Jones went out with a bang, had a, you know, masterful performance against San Francisco in the postseason. And, yeah, I feel like he's a more fluid runner than Josh Jacobs, but I understand them wanting to get younger. You don't want to have someone that you don't kind of know if he's going to be healthy 1 week or the next. Jacobs gives you at least some continuity in that aspect, but at least you were able to upgrade or get another good back. Some teams leave an option and don't have an answer on the roster. We saw the Dallas Cowboys go through that all last season thinking, hey, we can just get rid of Ezekiel Elliott because Pollard is the guy. Pollard was not the guy. And so now they're back in the mix for getting someone to tote the rock. But Green Bay did had a plan in place, and it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, I think, you know, emotionally, like, Aaron Jones was such a good human being and was so proud to be a Green Bay Packer, talked about, quote-unquote, carrying the G, did wonderful things in the community. Everybody knows the situation with his dad and, you know, like, his brother being, you know, a twin brother kind of being in and out of the league and just there were so many different aspects of Aaron Jones that were such a fun narrative and such a fun story. And he was such a good dude. I mean, he was. I had the opportunity to interview him a couple times when I was out in Green Bay. Early in his career, I did a lot of posting like preseason clips. He's a fifth round guy, but and this is not like, oh, look at me, I'm so smart. But like, I did a lot of posting his clips in preseason. And then when he was getting early touches, like, hey, this might be the guy, folks, this might be the guy. And he reached out, he's like, hey, thanks for the love. And so I've always had a soft spot for Aaron, but Father Time does no jobs, man. He is undefeated. And I'm not sure that this was not maybe getting out 1 year too early, but you look at the games missed and I'm with you there. I think they had a plan in place. They identified Josh Jacobs as somebody that they wanted to add. And I think Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones could have been super fun. It's not really the path that they have ultimately chose to go down. And that happens. And you could see, I mean, with the reported like pay cut he was asked to take and the deal he ended up getting from the Vikings, it wasn't that much different. You know, they gauged his market pretty well. Okay, diving into the kind of thresholds, Brian Gutekunst, people know, people that watch this show know we have a decent grasp, and you can find more about that grasp in the Green Bay Draft Guide powered by Packer Report of some of the requirements. And they're not, you know, locked, set in stone requirements, but if you can get sort of a grasp on what they like to do from an athletic threshold standpoint, it has done a really good job of pointing you kind of towards who they might take. It has been very predictive of who you kind of can narrow down, who to get excited about or who to watch or who you might expect Green Bay to call their name. Right now, I will tell folks that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 or 10 guys that fill out everything that Gutekunst wants. And I'll give you kind of those, which is they like the relative athletic score, which is a composite score of athleticism. And Green Bay probably doesn't use this specifically. In fact, I think we kind of know they don't, but there is a correlation to the high, you know, composite testing score, whether they use Spark, whether they use their own formula, whatever. The proof is in the pudding, especially since Ted Thompson took over. They do prefer bigger backs. They've shied away from the sub 205 pound backs. And you can see that with what they have at AJ Dillon and Josh Jacobs right now. And they do view short area quickness as important. Three cone is important to them. I think we found the most correlated test to who they take and who does well and what is actually broad jump. And do you broad jump during a football game? No, you don't. But it does lead you directly to short area explosiveness. That's what the broad jump is. I'll give you guys by the draft guide, so we're not going to give them all away, but I'll give you guys the top three ranked tier one guys, meaning that they hit all four of what the Packers like, and that is Trey Benson, Will Shipley, and Jalen Wright. What are your thoughts on those three guys? And then, of course, I'll just give you this because everybody's going to know, Isaac Garendo hits all of their requirements, because Isaac Garendo hits every requirement because he absolutely lit the combine on fire. But what are your thoughts on some of those guys and any other maybe just super athletic guys that are bigger that you kind of like maybe more than other folks?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Baseball season is officially back, and what a heck of a start for those Milwaukee Brewers. But just as we get set to wrap up an epic NCAA tournament, baseball is back, and it's better than ever when pairing it with America's number one fantasy sports app, Prize Picks. I know what some of you are thinking. All of these fantasy sports apps are complicated and hard to understand. That is simply not the case with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is super simple to play. I've literally gone in, found entries that I wanted to select, made my picks, and finished the entire process in under 60 seconds. Also, withdrawals are easy, payouts are easy, and they have an enormous selection of players and stat types to choose from that make the selection process super easy. All right, here's a true story. I did a fantasy baseball draft with my friends this year. Half of my team is already hurt, and I've already used up all of my transactions for the week. It is an absolute nightmare. Normally, I'd be ticked off, but I didn't even bat an eye this year. I didn't care at all because I opened up my Prize Picks app, made all new selections with players that weren't hurt. And if I'm being totally honest, it's a lot more fun this way anyway. This week, I'm keeping an eye on Bobby Witt Jr., Luis Robert, and Julio Rodriguez, three of my absolute favorite baseball players. But enough about me. It's time for you to get in on the fun with Prize Picks. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You know, it's fascinating because Benson would fit what they already have on the roster and what they've done. You look at a guy like Emmanuel Wilson, kind of is like a Trey Benson and what he brings. So I can see them leaning in that direction because that's kind of what they've – it's almost like you could peg wide receivers at Green Bay like too. Just how you could see the running back position trends that way as well. And so, yes, Benson would probably be the best bet out the three. I like Benson. I do think he's a solid player. It was good to see him get his burst back that he had at Oregon. Shipley to me seems more like a complimentary guy. I think he's more of a special teams type back. In terms of like he can return kicks, he can shifty enough to return punts. He can learn that. You can get him out there as an RB3. He can help you out in the passing game. But he doesn't really have that explosive element of like can hit the home run. Benson has a little bit more of that than Shipley does. And when you think about the back that probably is another one that fits their MO, you talk about Garrido, that would be the one that, he's my number three back in his class because he's so explosive and his first step explosiveness is tremendous. He was a former kick returner. That tells you a lot about someone's long speed. When he was at Wisconsin, then he goes to Louisville and does his thing there in a reserve role, but was able to make an impact when he got the opportunity and had a really good East-West Shrine Bowl a week as well. I would also toss out Isaiah Davis of South Dakota State, 6 feet, 222 pounds, was a finisher. 40 time is not the fastest, but when you watch the games and you see him finish runs and rip off long runs and be able to close out games, and what he did as a backup to Pierre Strong his freshman year in the playoffs, more particularly against Sam Houston in the championship game, Isaiah Davis was outstanding running the football. He's one of my favorite backs to watch in this class.
Yeah, he's you can see I'm at the Bison Report studio. He did some awful things to North Dakota State over the last 4 years. And we'll give one more away here. Isaiah Davis is 1 inch on the broad jump from being a tier one fit and checking every box. He is literally an inch from being exactly what the Packers look for in a running back. And I will say, I actually do want to get into Garrido because he's the guy that I'm not as high on as you. And part of it is I actually felt like he has obviously the straight line speed or the top end speed. There's just no arguing about that. I did feel sometimes it took him longer to get going. Like there's some buildup to getting to the straight line speed. And the other obvious concern, and that would be the one that I'd want you to address is like, why was he always in a reserve role? Why was he why should I believe that the third running back at Wisconsin and then the second running back at Louisville is a top three back in the entire class, right? That I feel like is a fair question.
People always ask that, but they never bring up the Memphis examples. We had Jadarrell Henderson's and all those backs that was kind of like a quarter of the backfield, right? Like there was a run for a 3-year run where everybody was flocking toward Memphis backs, and they all split time. It was like five backs in that backfield that were good runners. Garrido's the same way, and I think this dates back to high school. You know, now back when I played, so we're talking like I was class of 99 high school. So that era of high school ball and college ball, you know, it was like, hey, you dot the I, you're the lead guy. And you were trained that way. But these guys now, man, like no one's a lead dog. You rarely do you see a dude that's maybe Braylon Allen, who's constructed that way. But for the most part, a lot of these guys are coming in not built to handle full-time roles. And the game has changed to where these guys are now kind of conditioned to be, I don't want to say spot guys, but kind of part of a committee. So that explains that for me. Now he's not an overly shifty guy. He's kind of like Michael Bennett, if you remember him, another former Wisconsin running back that you know played with the Vikings, but was explosive straight line speed. Like if he gets a lane, it's kind of like Michael Turner as well too. He gets a lane, and you see the acceleration, you see the explosiveness. But pre line of scrimmage, he doesn't have the shiftiness. He's not a creator. But man, if I can say every game he's going to give me at least a 20 to 40 yard jaunt, I'll take that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. You mentioned, and I think with us being a Packers show, we have the large Wisconsin crossover. I'd be remiss to not ask you about Braylon Allen, because I think he's probably the most high profile Badger. People talk complaining about the center, the Bordellini kid, because he blew up the combine too. And I kind of like him, but I think the highest profile Badger this year is probably Braylon. Just get your thoughts, because I think folks watching this show probably will be interested.
He's my number one back.
Whoa, okay, all right.
Because he's like 12 years old, right? Because dude like came into college like super young. So he still has a long runway to go. And I like the fact that he came in as a young back and thrived in that role. And then I feel like because he was so young, and we talked about him early, and we say this is a joke, but it's kind of true for some players. They get the prospect fatigue. Like people just got tired of talking about Braylon Allen and moved on to other players. But he's still pretty doggone good. He has good footwork, good patience, good contact balance. Now, he's not the short area explosive guy, but he doesn't get really – he rarely gets you'll see him get run down. But it's not like where you say, yo, that guy is slow. He has some speed. He's probably the only foundational back. When I say foundational, I'm talking about, you know, a guy that you can plug in as a starter. Like if I'm Dallas, that would be the guy I go after, is Braylon Allen, to pair up with everything else they got on the roster. But yeah, I feel like he's a good all-around back. Just because he didn't catch the ball a lot at Wisconsin doesn't mean he can't catch the ball. So in a class where you're looking for who's the one that you can kind of trust to be a starter, if you need one, it's to me probably Braylon Allen.
I want to talk about real quick, in a very short detour, I want to talk about my guy that I actually feel like can be that. And I kind of had similar feelings that you had on Braylon Allen, in that I really only saw one guy. Like I see what you're talking about with Trey Benson. Like that's my home run hitter. I actually agree with you. I think I probably have slightly higher expectations, or think there could be more of a role for Will Shipley, or I'd be more excited about like his third down back / special teams capability. I'm kind of with you on what you said. And actually, Will, if you just said, Ross, you can take a back and throw him on the Packers at whatever pick kind of makes sense. Fourth round, Will Shipley, Green Bay Packers, RB3, special teams, pass catcher with Josh Jacobs, with AJ Dillon, and then your RB3, your gadget back is Will Shipley. Like, I'm in. If you just said, Ross, you can make one decision, that would be what I would do. But the one guy that I kind of view as who you're talking about is Jonathan Brooks from Texas. Now, we get none of the athletic testing data because of the late injury. And we also don't know, like, is he going to miss some camp? Is he going to be ready for preseason? Is he going to be ready for the season? Those kind of questions. But I felt like I saw kind of everything and another, you know, small sample size, because, well, yeah, we had Bijan and we had Roshan, and Jonathan Brooks had this short runway because he was the guy, and then he got hurt. What are your thoughts on Brooks? Because I kind of profiled him as my only the guy from this whole class.
what's funny about Brooks, I interviewed him at the combine, and just, you know, he was on set with us, and just, it's like, clearly I'm a football guy. And so my journalistic questions went out the window. I didn't even ask him about his knee injury because he was walking super normal. I just forgot he tore his ACL. Like, he wasn't walking with gingerly or walking with a limp. So it didn't come across my mind that, oh yeah, this is a dude that had tore his ACL like mid-season. I was like, so I forgot to ask him about it. That's how good he was walking around. So based off my untrained medical eye, he might be ready for camp, right? With the way these ACL treatments and trainings are coming, have come along. But you know, he's someone I felt like he was a little clumsy in a sense, like always getting tipped over, always tripping, like his balance was kind of thrown off. I still feel like he could gain some more weight and not lose speed and not lose acceleration. That could help out with his balance. Instead of him, you know, getting like tipped over a lot when you hit his legs or whatnot. But yeah, you saw a difference in how Texas was able to run the ball when he wasn't there. And Baxter is a good back. But Brooks was the one that they leaned on when they needed a big play. And I'm big on backs that have, and players in general. But when you have a great sense of timing, like, man, we need a big play, and you be the guy to make the play, that's the kind of guys you kind of want on the team. You see it a lot with defensive ends, like knowing when to get pressure and when to get that sack. Backs are the same way, and Brooks has that.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
One last guy that I want to get your quick opinion on, and then we'll get into kind of my favorite guys in the class as it pertains to like consensus. Like, you know, not here's my top five, although I kind of do want your top five. But people can get mine whenever they want it. Audric Esdemé. He is a guy that did not run well at Notre Dame. He's a guy that I'm not as high on. I'm interested to see where you're at, but there is a, and now I think he just makes very little sense. Cause I think you can do thunder and thunder. Like, there has to be some diversification of weapons. What are your thoughts on the back from Notre Dame? I don't want to, you know, poison the water by letting you know, like, he's not one of my guys, but there is a subsection of Packers fans that are like, oh no, this is the dude.
Well, listen, it's a great question. Cause if you were to ask me to recreate the Packers backfield of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, I'm taking Marshawn Lloyd as the Aaron Jones. Cause he reminds me so much of Aaron Jones.
I love Marshawn Lloyd so much. And I'm taking humble, but I love him.
And I'm taking Audric Esdemé as the AJ Dillon, because that's sure, who I compared to. That's exactly who he is. Now, Dillon was a lot faster at 250, but Esdemé is not as explosive as Dillon, but they're the same type of runner, if that makes sense. And so that's where I see him, which is why I feel like you don't need an Esdemé on Green Bay. You have that already in a more explosive package in Dillon, but he's a little tight hip runner. Not elusive, you know what I'm saying? And so he's more straight line-ish. But, man, there's a bunch of Audric Esdemés in this class. And that's where you kind of – like, when guys see my grades in terms of the running back position, there's, like, a long cluster of guys with the same grade. Yeah. Because that's where this class to me is.
I've got a big chunk of guys right in between, like, overall player 104 – and like overall player 140. I mean, like a chunk. Mm-hmm. But no, Esdemé, that was my thing. I just kept saying, it was like, you want a less explosive AJ Dillon, because that's what I see here. And by the way, Packers fans are, he does not have 100% approval rating among Packer fans. So anyway, I'm glad we're kind of on the same page there. Okay. If you want to give your top five, I think that would actually be pretty cool, just because, you know, most of the guys that we've talked to have been, hey, who do you like more than other folks? But I think the running back position is so undecided that even just hearing your top five, I think might be valuable. And then if you want to touch on a few other guys where you do feel like you're higher than consensus.
Braylon Allen's my number one. Marshawn Lloyd's my number two. Garrido, we talked about, he's by number three. At number four is Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. And number three, I have Davis. Four, I have Garrido. Five, right out of the top five, is Frank Gore Jr. I think people are sleeping on how good this dude is just as a football player and with the ball in his hands. But he definitely won't be a Packer because he's 5'7 and 199. Although we can get him a couple sandwiches, get him up to 205. Yeah. To help meet that threshold. But I like him a lot. And one guy that I'm a big fan of, just studying his game. And, you know, when you get I grade by position. So I watch one quarterback, then I'll watch all of them and then move on to the next position. So I don't mix and match prospects while grading. Right. So as I'm deep into the running backs, Marcus Knight of Tennessee Tech, fantastic running back, 6 feet, 227. Tremendous athlete. You cover FCS football, so I know you probably recognize the name. And he was a guy that played at Montana. He was a starting tailback at Montana. Then he started to play lacrosse at Montana. Then he transferred to Tennessee Tech and was part of a committee. But every time he got the ball, he was like, this dude's bringing some juice with him. And at 227, I'm like, okay, I can rock with that. So that's somebody that I really like coming from the FCS ranks. And of course, Jaden Sherton. Have been called 11 of his games in the last 3 years. You talk about someone that's on you're on the edge of your seat every time he touches the football. That's Sherton, because best believe you're leaving that game, he's having a 70-yard touchdown run. And that's someone that does it. And what was great for him this year was what Keaton Mitchell did last year, because now it got people to focus on, you know what? We can get backs that may be under 200 pounds that have that level of explosiveness to be a part of the puzzle and have success. So I think Jaden Sherton has a bright future.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. My guys that I think I'm still, even after, and not the combine went terrible for him because it didn't. I'm still willing to give Blake Corum a shot, understanding that it is very much maybe a one contract situation. Just so many miles at Michigan. I mean, they depended on him in a huge way. But I even saw some of the ways that he received the ball and plays he made in the passing game in the college football playoff. And I just, especially when, you know, we're talking about as a compliment to the guys the Packers have now, I think Blake Corum could really be something. I like it. And again, this is maybe a little bit skewed because of what Green Bay's needs are. Will Shipley, Dylan Lau, New Hampshire, Dylan Lau can do a bunch of things for you. And that's a guy that I'm probably higher on than most. He's my eighth running back, Dylan is. And I would guess that is probably higher than some. And then I think everybody's interested in, you know, from a strictly athleticism standpoint, Jalen Wright is just about Garrido. Not quite, but just about. I mean, Jalen Wright tore up the NFL combine, multiple explosive plays in the SEC. And he's a guy that's interesting because kind of the Garrido thing where it was not that much production, not that many touches, not that many carries, not that much tread on the tires. Now it's a chicken or the egg thing. Well, why wasn't he better? Why didn't Tennessee use him more? Why wasn't he more productive? All those things. But I think Jalen Wright is a really, really interesting guy for the Packers and somebody that I and probably higher on than most. And other than that, one guy, the last kid that I do want to touch on just briefly is Tyrone Tracy. What are your thoughts? I do want to get your take. Tyrone Tracy from Purdue. I think he's a former wide receiver, put on a little bit of weight. I like him in the passing game. Obviously you have that wide receiver background, ran well, good athlete. I mean, really, really good athlete. And I wonder if there isn't a little bit of juice kind of in a player like Tyrone Tracy where, you know, late-ish career position switch, maybe not that much on tape. Interested to just see your thoughts on him before we wrap things up here.
Yeah, I was the sideline analyst for the Hula Bowl this year. So, you know, I was down there all week watching these guys practice and going through it. And then, you know, you're watching Tracy, and I'm glad I got to talk to him during the game. Cause I'm like, listen, man, normally you see guys that are that were former receivers kind of play running back like receiver. i.e. Antonio Gibson, which is why I wasn't as big of a fan. I felt like even though he was 6 feet, 230, he played like a receiver playing running back. You know, he didn't see it properly. Was trying to get to the outside right away, didn't take on contact. But Tracy plays like a dude that played running back his entire career. If you told me he was a receiver, I'd be like, nah, ain't no way. You know what I'm saying? But he was a receiver for what, 5 years, and then made a switch going to Purdue. I'm sorry, making the switch at Purdue. But down at the Hula Bowl, I mean, he's running through contact. He's running with great pad level, lowering his shoulder to finish a run, to get into the end zone. And he's yoked up, you know what I'm saying? So he's a legit, he's probably Ty Montgomery, if we think about it. That's exactly who he could potentially be. Maybe a little bit more natural of a runner as a running back than Ty Montgomery was, but same type of MO. A guy that can help you out on both ends of offense.
Love that. Wrapping up the show with a Ty Montgomery comp. I'm going to take this last question, and it is the question that we have been asking at the end of each of these shows. Will the Packers, with one of their 7 picks in the first 5 rounds, and those come from the Rasul Douglas trade, the Aaron Rodgers trade, and the compensatory pick that the Packers get from the Jets signing Alan Lazard? Yes, I do believe Green Bay will take a running back at some point. I would start looking at those picks at 88 and 91 in the third round. I would start looking there. And then, you know, whether it's those one in round 4, one in round 5, I wouldn't honestly be that shocked if it was maybe one in round 3 and one in round 5, although the AJ Dillon re-signing does sort of, maybe put a damper on that. Maybe more like one in round 3, one in round 7, something like that, just because, you know, how you're not going to keep 4 backs. You're probably keeping Dillon. How high do you want to draft a guy that might end up on the practice squad exposed to other teams? I don't know. Emery, man, thank you so much. This was awesome. I think we touched on a number of guys. I think we did our job, which was to kind of educate and point people in the direction of guys that might be Packers and just guys that might be good football players at the next level. I appreciate you, man.
Anytime. Appreciate you bringing me on the show.
All right, folks, hope you enjoyed watching. Hope you enjoyed listening. If you are on the podcast side, how can you help us out? Buy the Green Bay Draft Guide powered by Packer Report. Use the promo code DAILY, that is DAILY, for 10% off of that very draft guide. The link should be right here in the show description. Follow me. I am at Ross Uglum. Follow us at Packer Report. Give us a shot on the VIP side. It's just $1 for the first month, and if you love it, you can easily transition to a much lower price on the annual side. Have a great rest of your day, folks, and go Pack Go.